Have you ever seen a potter sitting at his bench with the potter's wheel, with a lump of clay there and molding something beautiful from that clay? Have you ever seen that? In some ways, it reminds me of creation. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground." Before God laid his hands on you, you were nothing but a bunch of dirt. And now, back to that potter, lying there on his wheel is a special blend of dirt. It's called clay. It doesn't look like much. In fact, it's kind of ugly. It's just a big blob of ugly. And it just sits there on this round wheel, and it doesn't matter how much you look at it, it just doesn't do anything in and of itself. Nothing happens. It's just a big glob of ugly. It's no use. But then the potter puts his hands on it, puts a little water on it, and turns the wheel, and it begins to become something very beautiful in his hands. And next, his hands finish it and form it, and he looks at it and he says, "It is good. It is good." I'm sure you know Isaiah 64, verse 8. It's on the front of today's bulletin, actually. It says, "O Lord, you are my Father, our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." We sing about it. Sing it with me. "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still." So I want you to picture yourself as a useless, ugly glob of dirt that has been transformed into something beautiful by the Master's hand. You are his workmanship. And David said this in Psalm 139, "Lord, you have laid your hand upon me." Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too lofty for me to attain. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you know that if your senses were working at their optimum and you were normal, that you can see a candlelight 30 miles away on a dark, clear night? Did you know that you can smell one drop of perfume in an apartment that has three rooms? Did you know that you can taste one half ounce of salt if it's dissolved in 530 quarts of water? Did you know that you can feel the weight of a bee's wing if it falls on your cheek from just one half inch above? Did you know that you can gauge the direction of a sound within 3/10,000ths of a second? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's just the physical part. What about the spiritual part? Because you know what? He made that too, and God is still making that. He's still doing it. He's still shaping and reshaping. When he gave you life in Jesus Christ, God picked you up, and he just threw you down just as you were, plopped you right there on the potter's wheel, and then he put his loving hands around you, and he began to form that glob of sin into something that is beautiful through a process of sanctification. It's a process. It doesn't happen like that. It's an ongoing thing, and sometimes it can be a messy thing. And when that wheel begins to spin, watch out, it can make you a little bit wobbly as the world goes around. But then the potter rescues you. He rescues you. He knows what he's doing. His hands are skilled. His hands are controlled. And his hands will stabilize you no matter how wobbly it may get in your life. But sometimes as that wheel gets faster and faster, you just feel like I'm out of control. I can't handle this. I'm going to fall off. If you do not stay in touch with the potter's hands, brothers and sisters, you will. You will fall off. You need his hands. Never let go of his hands. What are you going to become when the potter's finished with you? You don't know. I don't know. He does. He knows exactly what it's going to be. Isaiah 29:15. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, he did not make me? Can the pot say to the potter, he knows nothing? Your job in this process of sanctification, brothers and sisters, is to remain soft and pliable and surrendered to the potter's hands. And when you do that, you'll be like what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 40. And we read that earlier. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Listen, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to God. Now that is Psalm 40. That's part of Psalm 40. And the psalmist was painting a picture of a reality of Palestine. Because in Palestine, the potter would build his house immediately beside the clay fields. And he would dig down deep into the rich clay fields until he found the best clay. It was always down deep. It was at the bottom. He would take the best clay to his potter's wheel in order to do his work. But watch out. If you fell into the pit where that clay was, you were in trouble because it was slimy, it was slippery, and there was absolutely no way you could climb out by yourself. And that is why the psalmist says, God turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. He lifted me out of the mud and the mire. Some of you have been there. You've been to the bottom of a pit. You've been where it's messy. You've been to the mud and you've been to the mire and you have seen it and it nearly did you in. Until a divine hand came and helped you out of that pit and rescued you. You are rescued. And you're cleaned up too. Look at you. All that mud and all that is gone. And so there's a new song in your lips, in your mouth, to sing to the Lord, a song of praise. Are you thankful for that? Did you forget that God rescued you? He rescued you. Don't forget. Hang on to that and live that all your life. This is Jeremiah 18, beginning in verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Sometimes God has to reshape us when we get messed up, and that's another quality of this process that we call sanctification, a process of growing in spiritual maturity to be all that God wants us to be. God's hands are skilled. God's hands are very skilled, but the impurities that we allow to come into our clay can make us a lumpy mess. Our imperfections can interfere with the process of being shaped into his image. And so he may have to pick you up and throw you back on that wheel as another glob and just start all over again, trying to shape you. Thankfully, he is a very patient potter. He never gives up on us. Now, here's another challenge God has for us. We can be like Play-Doh. Have you ever played with Play-Doh? If you leave the lid off of Play-Doh, it gets dry, and you just can't shape it. Some people are like that. They've left the lid off, and they're set in their ways, and they're stiff-necked about everything in life. And the older we get, the more susceptible we are to becoming like dried Play-Doh. And when that happens, the potter has to hydrate us so that he can shape us. Revelation 21, verse 6, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. That is what we need, the water of life to hydrate us. Revelation 22, one chapter later, verse 1, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb. That water of life is a free gift that God gives to you who are thirsty. It softens your heart. It makes you more pliable in the hands of the potter. And what is the end result of all of that? Well, the potter wants to form you into a beautiful vessel, brothers and sisters, something very useful. He causes your lump of clay to rise up higher and higher until you become who he wants you to be. And then just at the right moment, he puts his thumbs into the top and he begins to shape you by pushing his thumbs closer to your heart. And that's when you begin to be turned into his image, when he touches your heart. From his vantage point, he can look down into the clay and he can see what you cannot see. He can see what you're going to become, and you cannot see that either. He continues to shape you. He molds you into something beautiful, but not something beautiful just to put on a shelf to be admired, but something beautiful that is a vessel to hold a treasure. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. God put his treasure into us, his jars of clay, and he wants us to be useful vessels to build his kingdom. But that cannot happen until he puts the molded clay into the furnace. Yikes. Being molded is hard enough. Now you're telling me I've got to go into the furnace? Yes. And not only that, you've got to be glazed as well. Most of us love to say that getting old is not for sissies. Well, I can tell you this, being molded is not for sissies either. It takes a lot of work and a lot of patience on God's part, and it takes a lot of yielding on our part, surrendering to the Lord. Be careful when you sing, "Mold me and make me." It's not easy. You do not want to be a lump of clay, do you? You do not want to be. You do want to be made into something beautiful and useful for the Lord, but it costs something. What does it cost? Everything. Everything. It requires you to place yourself on the potter's wheel. Earlier we read the first four verses of Jeremiah 18, where the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message." And he went to the potter's house, and he saw that the potter had to reshape a pot. Now, we did not finish that passage. God then said, "I will give you my message." What was the message that he gave? Let's continue with Jeremiah 18, verse 5. "Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'O house of Israel, cannot I do to you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel.'" So the focus was not on us as individuals. The focus was on a nation. Continuing. "If at any time I," God is speaking, "I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it." Brothers and sisters, God was talking about Israel in that passage, but he did not confine it only to Israel. He generalized it. He said, a nation or kingdom, any nation or kingdom. Our nation is impure clay in the hands of God, who can reshape us at any moment for good or for bad. Isaiah 29, the Lord says, "These people come near me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish." Whoa! That is a big word in the Bible. It should be in all capital letters with exclamation points around it. Listen to it. When God says, whoa, you better listen. Whoa! To those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, "Who sees us? Who will know? You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'He did not make me'? Can the pot say to the potter, 'He knows nothing'? God gave birth to the United States of America. He is the potter. This country is the clay, and it is an ugly blob of dirt and mud and wickedness. Our nation's prayer needs to be the same prayer of Isaiah 64, verse 8. "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul gave this warning in Romans 9:21. Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? Pray for our nation. It is sick. We have become a nation of impure clay. God's hands shaped you into a beautiful vessel, and he put into you his treasure so that you could be a change agent in this world. The truth and the beauty that lives within you is so needed in our nation. It is life-changing. It is the rescue of Jesus Christ. This nation needs to be rescued by the Lord God Almighty. And he wants you to be an instrument of that. Otherwise, if you're not, you're just a worthless lump of clay. I don't care how much you come to church. If all you do is come in here and sit and look pretty and clean like you do right now, you are a worthless lump of clay. He wants you to do something about sin in this world. And he wants you to let sinners know there is a rescue, there is a savior. Do you know what the potter does with worthless clay? He throws it away. Where does he throw it? He throws it into the potter's field. He built his house right by that potter's field so that he could get the best clay. And when he gets impure clay, he throws it away. And when he dumps that clay, eventually that potter's field becomes worthless. And that is why it becomes a burial place for foreigners and for the worthless people of society. And that is why the chief priests took the 30 pieces of silver that Judas returned to them and they buried it in the potter's field. That is why Judas himself was buried in the potter's field. On the west side of Long Island in New York, there is a place called Hart Island, H-A-R-T, Hart Island. It is 100 acres in size, and it is the largest tax-funded cemetery in the world. It began during the Civil War. More than 1 million people are buried there, and they add to it 1,500 people every year. They're mostly vagrants and tramps and people that nobody's ever heard of or knows who they are. Adults are buried in trenches there with 48 bodies per trench. Unidentified infants are buried there in trenches containing 1,000 bodies. These are primarily the aborted babies. 55% of the bodies at Hart Island are aborted babies. That island is located only 4 hours from where you sit right now. It is the largest potter's field in the world. It is a graveyard of clay that was not moldable. It's clay that did not want to submit to the potter's hands. It's clay full of impurities that refuse to be pliable and surrender. It's a place where every one of us deserves to be buried. Every one of us. Were it not for the rescue of our Savior. It's also the place where this nation that has a growing cancer of evil and wickedness overtaking it deserves to be buried if we do not return to the potter's hands. Listen again now to the words of Isaiah 64, beginning in verse 7. No one calls on your name, Lord, or strives to lay hold of you. You have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ got onto a potter's wheel. He became clay in order to save clay. The potter became pottery. May God have mercy on us all. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the rescue of Jesus Christ in our lives, and we pray for the rescue of those who do not know you. May you use us to bring them to you and your kingdom and to their free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for this nation. We pray, Lord, for the political process in which we find ourselves right now. Lord, we cringe as we look at ourselves through the mirror of this process. And Father God, I pray for the United States of America. I pray that you will allow us to come back to the potter's wheel, that you will place your hands on this country, Lord, and that you will reshape us, founded on the Bible, founded on you, founded on truth. And Lord, that you will not be angry with us forever. Please, Lord, forgive us all. Forgive us. For you are the potter, and we are the clay. And we lay ourselves again in recommitment before your throne, our Lord Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving and a plea for mercy, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This hymn is a prayer. Let's stand and sing together.